Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, would you fancy an extra bank holiday or increased wages or better working conditions for all workers? That's the government's list of ideas for a pandemic bonus to reward those who went the extra mile during the COVID crisis. It seems to be getting longer, that list. It all sounds very good in theory, according to business owners and Nina in County Tipperary anyway, who've been giving their views to John Cook.
We work longer hours. We split our shifts 6 days a week, 7 days some week. We put in a hard graft for the last couple of years, as did everybody in the retail sector. I'm Dennis Finnerty. I'm a pharmacist in Nina here. I'm vice president of the Chamber of Commerce in town. You talk about frontline workers. If you ask me, those people who kept our economy ticking over are people in supermarkets, are people in food stalls, are people who supplied coffees, are people who kept the economy alive locally. They're frontline workers as well.
So should there be extra annual leave or an extra bank holiday or extra pay for your staff as well?
Well, look, I think, you know, extra bank holidays, a bonus at any single point really is meaningless. I think what's more important is that you pay people a decent wage for the work that they do. Instead of having them going home in the evening time feeling that they have been taken advantage of, pay them a salary which is fair and decent and gives them a reasonable reward for the hard work that they do.
And the government is talking about, well, increasing the minimum wage by maybe an extra 30 cent, putting sick pay on a statutory footing, improving pensions and working conditions. As an employer, are you willing to take all that on?
I think we are. I think retailers and employers in general are fairly progressive in looking at alternatives for workers now. The pandemic has shown us that there are many different ways to work, whether it's at home or whether it's in the office or whatever. There's lots of ways of doing it, and it has shown us the value of people's work as well, I think.
So there's a lot of talk about rewarding people who work through the pandemic, increased wages, another bank holiday. What do you think of all that?
Oh my goodness, I'd love that. Who's going to pay for it?
So my name is Edel Kennedy. I own Edel's Boutique here in Nina. Yeah, it would be fantastic to reward everybody for working hard, but who's going to pay for it? I mean, all the businesses, we're all struggling. We're getting back on our feet, and I don't know where the money's going to come from.
An extra bank holiday or increasing wages, you don't see that as something you think that small businesses could cope with right now?
To be honest with you, no. Small businesses, we can't afford an increase in wages. No, we can't. To be honest with you, I'm grateful that my doors are open and customers are coming in and we're just finding our feet again. So I think we need to appreciate where we're at the moment. We've all been through a traumatic time, whether it's a business owner trying to keep our business's doors open and getting employees back and getting employees back and getting making sure that they have jobs. So I think we need to appreciate where we're at and let's go from there.
Is the butchers busy these days, or have you been busy through the pandemic? Did you keep going all the time?
Well, I got COVID and we were closed for 2 to 3 weeks. So recovered from that and back open, and we're flying since. Dennis Quirk, Dennis's Meats. Yeah, I don't have any problem rewarding anyone or paying extra money to staff, as long as the revenue do something for the small businesses in the meantime. Everyone deserves a good pay. The frontline staff are brilliant, so they do deserve something as well. But I think the revenue have to look at every side of it, look at the small businesses and how they can help them as well. You never recover from being closed for those 10 days a year. Like, it's 10 days take that you don't recover during the week. People think you do, but you don't.
How's the supermarket been through the pandemic? Did you ever stop?
It was actually very quite busy because people were doing a little bit of hoarding. They weren't eating out, they weren't drinking out, so obviously they had to buy have something somewhere. So that came from the supermarket and from the off-places, etc. Donal O'Connor from O'Connor's Kenyon Street Market, 61 Kenyon Street, Nina, County Tipperary.
And so your shop workers here worked right through the pandemic as well. Do they deserve a pandemic bonus?
I was proud of them. If there was something going, if there was something to be afforded by anybody, I think they deserve something. Absolutely. None of them went home and said, hey, we're sitting at home because we're too afraid. They came in and did their bit. Now, without that, the whole country would have come to a standstill. Now, the first person that should be helping them out is the government. They're being murdered with taxes. A taxes exemption on a higher level would be manna from heaven and well deserved. The extra bank holidays, we have an awful lot of bank holidays in this country. There's 8 of them already. Like, I don't know if I think, basically, most of the time you couldn't go anywhere now. Who wants to get on a plane with 100 people?
You don't want another bank holiday. Well, what about if they increase the minimum wage? Can you afford that?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I can or not. It's been very tight. an awful lot of businesses are just barely making even. So although the workers deserve a lot, it should really come from the government. We're paying huge rates, we're paying huge taxes in the shop. Surely some of that can come back in a direct way to the staff without sending any retailers completely into the red, into a danger zone. That would be of no benefit in the future. How's that, boy?
That's not too bad, boy. That's Tony O'Connor from O'Connor's Supermarket in Nina, ending John Cook's report there. And we'll be returning to the pandemic bonus after five, when we'll speak to employers and indeed workers. It's causing a bit of a stir, isn't it? Causing a little bit of attention. A pandemic dividend, that's the term Taoiseach Leo Varadkar used last night to describe a series of reforms in workers' rights, which he vowed to roll out over the next year and a half or so. It includes a new bank holiday, an increase in the minimum wage, flexible working, occupational pensions, and the introduction of a living wage above the minimum wage. Let's have a listen to what Leo Varadkar had to say on the News at One today.
We want to build a just society for working people in the workplace, and a living wage would be part of that. And we've made the commitment as a government to introduce it in the lifetime of this government, and we can start to make progress in that in a meaningful way next year. Now, there will be an increase in the ordinary national minimum wage, if you like, in January, but a living wage is something a little bit different.
And that's the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar speaking on RT Radio 1 this afternoon. We're going to hear now from employers and from workers. Maeve McElwee is Director of Employer Relations for business group IBEC, and Senator Marie Sherlock is a trade unionist, economist and Labour Party employment spokesperson. You're both very welcome to the programme. Maeve, I'll start with you. This idea of a new bank holiday, are employers up for it?
New bank holiday is a really challenging thing, actually, for many employers. And, you know, it depends in many ways on the circumstances of any introduction. Where we're looking at it as a reward, potentially, for services rendered during COVID, and recognising that people have worked very hard. And, of course, it's a really understandable sentiment. But it can be very challenging. It's also very expensive.
Why is it challenging?
Well, it's challenging because, you know, if the intention is to introduce as a reward or a recognition, you know, it's a universal application. It's also a very significant cost. If we were looking at it across, say, an average pay in the private sector, you're talking about, you know, the guts of 150 million, and then bearing in mind that for many organisations, that's already a premium payment day. And then obviously there's the challenge for organisations that are working on a shift basis, mm-hmm. where that disrupts those shift patterns. So it's not as straightforward as simply saying we'll just add in one additional day. Okay. There are considerable costs attaching.
Okay, let me put that to Marie Sherlock. Challenging and costly. It's 150 million euro. Maybe it's too costly, Marie.
Well, I think the important thing to say here is that Ireland is behind most other EU member states in terms of the number of public holidays they have per year. But I think the other thing is, of course, for the tourism sector, having an additional public holiday in the year would be a massive boost. And when we look at the legacy of the pandemic, you know, tourism is going to be one of the hardest hit. It's going to take one of the longest. It's the sector that's going to take, you know, that and the arts are going to be the sectors that will take longest to recover. So I think it's very welcome, the proposal of an additional holiday. And of course there will be employers' concerns, we would expect that, but I think nonetheless this is about ensuring that that Ireland is not outside of the EU average with regards to public holidays.
And how much outside are we? How far behind are we in terms of the average in the EU in terms of public holidays?
Yeah, so I think my understanding is that we have 2 days less on average per year relative to most other EU member states.
Ah, Maeve. That's not fair, is it?
I think all of these issues really need to be looked at, not independently and without considering sort of the wider implications. And as you know, last night, the Taoiseach alluded to the very full agenda of employment reforms that he would like to see introduced. And it's a really significant body of employment regulation. And we need to remember that even within that, it isn't a standalone. We've had significant increases in employment regulation in the last number of years as well. So we actually have to see this in terms of the overall cost to employers. Outside of the principles, many of which employers agree with in terms of extending rights to employees, Is the fact that the business has to be able to sustain the overall cost.
Yeah, I understand. So let's go through some of the other points made by the Taoiseach last night. He was talking about some kind of recognition for workers who went above and beyond during the pandemic, some sort of a financial bonus. I mean, is that something employers would be okay with?
In reality, many employers have already recognised that contribution. So if you look across those sectors where people have worked throughout, and particularly in those early stages of the pandemic, particularly retail and in the large retailer, bonuses have been paid throughout the pandemic. In lots of our manufacturing environments where people were working in critical manufacturing, in our pharma and medtech, for instance, absolutely, organisations were recognising that contribution throughout. So I think really important to say that that has already been recognised, and there were lots of different ways in which employers did that.
That's done already then, Marie?
No, not necessarily. Yes, of course, some employers have paid a bonus, but I know particularly in the lower paid sectors, workers such as, and some retailers, not all retailers paid a bonus, but in retail, waste collection, and of course the food sector. And, you know, we heard so much about the importance of the food sector in this country last year with regards to ensuring food supplies. And certainly they have been very paltry, if indeed at all, have paid out any reward or bonuses in respect of the challenge for many workers in having to turn up for work last year and of course this year. And I think it's important to say, because I know there'll be a lot of workers out there saying, well, look, I had to work from home, and they had to work from home and they had maybe no childcare, or they were working very cramped conditions. And it's important to acknowledge that. But of course, for those who are risking their life and their health and those of their families, then I think they do need to be recognised. And we do need to look at public transport and all those other private sector workers.
So they all get the same financial reward then? Because the Taoiseach, speaking with Brian Dobson this afternoon, said even within healthcare, he said there would be differences in how people would be recognised.
Well, I think anybody who had to physically go into a workplace certainly was facing a degree of risk. And I think that's where you get into very delicate discussions and negotiations then about, who deserves what. But I think, you know, what would be really important is that we don't, particularly in the health sector, those who, obviously people are paid different rates depending on the work that they do. Mm-hmm. And we need to recognise that, whether you are the hospital porter or the cleaner or indeed the surgeon or a nurse working in the COVID ward, that everybody had to make a very significant sacrifice and contribution.
Would you be comfortable with, in terms of the financial bonus or the financial recognition for work done during the pandemic, would you be happy, Marie, if, for example, healthcare workers who had a frontline role in fighting COVID, that they be receive a financial reward that would be higher than a nurse, for example, who would be working in oncology?
Well, I think we'd have to look very carefully at who exactly was doing what. And I think bear in mind as well that, I suppose part of the discussion has been, a payment or, instead of a payment, that there would be annual leave. And it's important to put in perspective here that it's not just a reward or a dividend that has been spoken about by the trade unions, but also something that is restorative, because many workers across the whole health sector could not take their annual leave, which is their entitlement during the pandemic, because of the enormous pressure they were under. And we know what happens when a workforce becomes mm-hmm. too exhausted, and so we need to make sure that they are given annual leave or pay.
But you're happy with the sliding scale of reward based on how a worker behaved during the pandemic. Let me ask Maeve McIlwee from IBEC then about another element or point that was made by the Taoiseach last night and again today. He referred to the living wage, Maeve. Now, I know this has been a hot topic of discussion between employers and employees for some time now, but it seems he seems committed, and the government seems committed, on introducing a living wage starting on a phase basis from early next year. Would employers play along with that?
I think employers have a lot of very reasonable concerns about this whole concept of a living wage. It's very easy to understand a minimum wage because we understand how that applies and we understand what the mechanisms are. We have an independent body to operate those mechanisms around determining what that minimum wage should be. The challenge with a living wage is that a living wage has so many different components to it, many of which employers have no control over. So if it were the situation that a living wage comes in, and I know that the Taoiseach is really committed to this, there are lots of challenges that need to be considered.
Like what?
So how would employers input? So right now, the living wage as it's currently determined, employers have no voice in the determination of that. We would have to look at, you know, say the role and the obligations of the state when we look at, you know, the state in terms of increases in taxes, where they influence prices, where they increase utility costs, the cost of education, the cost of healthcare. If those costs feed into the living wage, well, then employers clearly have no control on those.
But
Where's the state role in managing the living wage increases?
With all due respect.
And again, Cormac,
the same would apply. Sorry, the same would apply to the minimum wage, but the minimum wage is there in legislation.
But the minimum wage also allows us to consider all of the competitiveness factors that arise for employers within the broader economy. It also looks to other economies. It looks to our trading partners. It looks at all of the current economic challenges that businesses are facing.
Sorry, I don't understand the point you're making.
It doesn't simply say that the cost of living has risen.
No, but the minimum wage,
the
minimum wage is set. And employers have to abide by it. Surely a living wage would be similar, except it would be fairer and more decent to employees, no?
Well, really what that then is, that's just another minimum wage set at a higher level.
Indeed.
Indeed.
What's so, the problem?
But there, well, I'm not saying that there's any problem necessarily. We have always supported a minimum wage being in place, but we already have a low pay commission who addresses this issue of the minimum wage. So if it is a minimum wage we wish to set, then that mechanism is already in place.
Okay, you have concerns. And Marie, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think the first thing to say is with regards to Taoiseach's speech last night, there was a large element of old wine in new bottles. We've had a lot of these commitments for a long period of time. So going back to the pension commitment, the auto-enrolment pension commitment, that commitment has been there, well, going back nearly 15 years, but in particular with this government, with regards to Fine Gael, back to 2018. And we were supposed to have auto-enrolment state occupational pension scheme in place by next year. And of course, that hasn't happened. Sick pay, we brought forward a bill 12 months ago, and the government has still to enact sick pay in this country. And then, of course, with regards to the living wage, and I think when we talk about the living wage, we really need to start thinking and talking about a living income, because it's not just about the wage per hour, but also the number of hours that a worker works, and indeed how that income relates to a person's cost of living. We're seeing real wages at the moment, so the earned wage less in inflation in the Irish economy running at only about 1.7% at this point in time. And of course there's hospitality, retail and transportation storage are actually suffering pay reductions, but every other sector is growing.
All fine points, Marie, but who'll pay for all of this? As one employer said to John Cook and Nina, who's going to pay for this?
Well, I suppose this is the key point, right? Like, as in, you know, and Maeve makes the point, and it's a fair point. It's about what is the state contribution to this and what's the employer. And we have a situation now where we've squandered years of our public finances being in a very healthy position with regards to the provision of housing, with regards to healthcare. Like, as in, we've had a promise of free GP care up to 18 for a period of time, and of course, that hasn't been enacted. So the reality is that people have to do a lot more in this country with their wage compared with other
That's
EU member
not
states.
The question.
And so,
Who'll pay for the living wage?
So that comes back to my point that it has to be both, right? The government needs to up its game in terms of the provision of public services, in terms of housing, in terms of affordable housing, in terms of health, and employers need to ensure that their workers can actually live off their
income.
So
the employers will pay for the living wage, is that right?
Well, of course, that has to be the starting point. And I suppose my point to employers is that they need to join forces with us in making that stronger argument for better public services in this country.
Let Maeve respond to that, because Marie says that the government has to up its game in terms of the provision of public services, but you have to pay for the living wage.
Well, I would agree, and it was great last night to hear the Taoiseach's ambition around, you know, looking at the investment in our economy, ensuring that, you know, that investment will be there to drive our economy forward. And it will be critically important as we look at things like the living wage to ensure that actually they don't disproportionately impact things like our cost base and our wage and salary expectation. And so if we are to look at something like living wage, we do need to make sure that the social and public policy decisions that we're making and investment that we're making are proportionate, sensible, and also, you know, allow us to be able to look at that. But the problem with the living wage is every time you see a cost increase, an employer is chasing a living wage that they have no control over and can't manage the cost around.
Do you know what it sounds? Do you know what it sounds like to me, Maeve? But listening to you in this interview, it sounds like you'll fight the government tooth and nail on everything that Leo Varadkar suggested last night and today. When I asked you about the extra bank holiday, you said that'll be challenging. When I asked you about the financial bonus for workers who went above and beyond the pandemic, you said that's been done already. And when I asked you about the living wage, you said we have concerns.
Well, to say that we have concerns doesn't mean that we're opposed to everything. So obviously there are huge cost concerns for employers at the moment. We have to remember the situation that many, many employers are in. We have just, you know, many literally holding on to try and see can they get their businesses back
up and running. So how far will you go
running
in terms of the living wage then?
And not reasonable to say, actually, that we're opposed to everything. In fact,
okay, but
I have always been very supportive. Well, just to make the point, we've always been very supportive of auto-enrollment.
Yeah, auto-enrollment is extremely important. And you're talking about pensions and so on. So in terms of
when we look at
clarity on the living wage, you say you're not opposed. You picked me up on that. So what are you in favour of there?
No, I didn't say. I suppose the living wage is very, it's a construct that is difficult because what is a living wage? So, you know, we could have a very long debate around how a living wage is formed and all of the different components of what goes into a living
wage.
You
said you were, it's not fair to pick you up and say that you're against it. So what are you in favour? Quickly, because I'm running out of time.
Well, I suppose we have always been in favour of the application of a minimum wage because we can employers can understand a minimum wage. We can see how a minimum wage is defined and we can see how it's fairly and uniformly applied across a workforce. Much more difficult is to be trying to manage a living wage with lots of components over which an employer can't set their pricing or their own financial policy.
And I know Marie Sherlock is waiting to get out of the traps again, but unfortunately we're out of time. Marie Sherlock, though, thank you very much indeed. And also Maeve McElwee of IBEC, thank you as well. We'll take a break.